بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. This is our sixth session for Arabic lessons in Hadith level 2 المستوى الثاني for the Medina program, Islamic University of Medina. And today we'll be taking our sixth hadith inshallah for yani memorization and comprehension, the meaning of the hadith and whatever grammatical points or rules yani this hadith may contain. Before we start with the hadith today, I just want to give you a chance if there's any questions about the hadith from last week, the hadith of Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu. If anybody has any question about that hadith or any issue that they would like to bring up before we go on to the new hadith. Hadith of Uthman ibn Affan. Who memorized this hadith last week? Uthman ibn Affan. Anybody memorized it last week? Yeah. Muhammad, Faiz. Hadith from last week, Uthman. Man bana lillahi masjidan. Man bana? نعم رواه مسلم جيد. ها حديث عثمان رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من بنى لله مسجدا بنى الله له بيتا في الجنة رواه مسلم. This is a very important hadith, and we just mentioned briefly last week that the hadith specifically is related to the one who builds a masjid lillahi, yani for the sake of Allah, sincerely for the sake of Allah, not for any other reason, to become famous or to get a reputation or for people to praise them, but they do it sincerely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah will build for them a house in Jannah. And we also said, as some of the scholars said, that if a person is not able to build a masjid but they contribute towards the building of a masjid, inshallah there will be some reward for them. And Allah is rich and He multiplies the rewards for those who do good as much as He wills. And it's easy for Allah to give somebody a full reward for a deed that yani might not be complete. But if a person does the best they can, Allah multiplies the reward in accordance with the sincerity of the person who's doing that action and in accordance with the ability of the person. Yani the person who has less might be rewarded than the one who has more, as we mentioned in the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, in which he mentioned that one dirham outdid 100,000 dirhams, meaning that the reward for the one who gave one, because he only had two, so that was half of his wealth, was greater than the reward of the one who gave 100,000, because that was only a very, very small portion of the tremendous, vast amount of wealth that he had. Okay, no question about this hadith, we go to the new hadith now.
Used everywhere for future indication?
Generally. I mean, it doesn't have to be. It could be understood from the context. But if a person wants to be clear that they mean future, then you can say, yani add the seen, the letter seen to the beginning of the mudari verb, or sofa. Both of them indicate future. And a person who wants to be clear that they mean something in the future, then if they use one of these particles, then it becomes clear. Otherwise, sometimes the context, it may be understood from the context that it means future.
Surety.
Huh?
Samin said surety.
No, surety? What do you mean by surety?
I must go.
I must?
Go. Sayas habo. Or yes habo.
No, it doesn't mean you must go, no. It just means that you will do it in the future. It just indicates the future, that's all.
If I say yes habo ilal masjid, and I say sayas habo,
now, it could be understood differently. If you say سَيَذْهَبُ إِلَى الْمَسْجِدِ, he will go to the masjid, meaning at some point in the future, after 10 minutes, after 1 hour, or after 1 day, right? But if you say يَذْهَبُ إِلَى الْمَسْجِدِ, you could understand from that he will go to the masjid, but you might also understand from that he's doing it now. And he's going to the masjid. And you may also understand it from this, that he does it continuously. He goes to the masjid. So that could be understood differently than سَيَذْهَب becomes clear that you mean in the future. Without that, it's not clear that you mean in the future. But it could from the context mean that. Now, okay, the hadith for today يعني, is a little bit longer than most of the hadith that we've had up until now. But يعني, in any case, it's still, I think, bearable. It's relatively... يعني, it's possible. I think it's for most of us, I think it's within our range. And it's something that we can memorize. Some of the words are repeated, some of the expressions are repeated. So if we look at that, then it reduces the size of this hadith to probably what we have been doing previously. Alright, so let's look at this hadith as it came in the book on page 15. On page 15. Ad-darsu as-sadisu. Ad-darsu as-sadisu. Meaning, the sixth lesson. The sixth lesson. Remember that these numbers, the ordinal numbers, show the order of something. Like you say the first, the second, the third, the fourth, the fifth, the sixth. And generally they are derived from the cardinal numbers. Yani, like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. But some of them may be modified a little bit and a little irregular, but generally they are taking, like for example, Al-Khamis is taken from Khamsa. And Al-Rabi' is taken from Arba'. And Al-Thalith is taken from Thalatha, and so on, like this. But these are numbers that we should know by now. And we've seen these numbers at the beginning of lessons from the level 1 class up until now. So this is something that we should be aware of and we should know very well. Ad-Darsu As-Sadisu, yani the sixth lesson. Yani came in order as the sixth one. Taib, the hadith is an Ali ibn Abi Talib. An Aliyin. On the authority of Ali ibn Abi Talib, the son of Abu Talib. Yani his father's kunya was Abu Talib. So he is the son of Abu Talib. Ali ibn Abi Talib radiyallahu anhu, may Allah be pleased with him, qal, he, that is Ali radiyallahu anhu, said, inna rasulallahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam akhadha hariran فجعله في يمينه. Yani the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam akhadha hariran, he took hold of. Akhadha, to take something. Akhadha ya'khudhu, the past tense. Akhadha, the mudari. Ya'khudhu with dhamma on the middle radical. Akhadha hariran, he took hold of a piece of silk. فجعله في يمينه. And ja'ala here means wada'ahu, he placed it. Ja'ala here means wada'a, he placed it. Fi yaminihi, in his right hand. Yamin is right, yaminihi, his right. And he took a piece of silk and then he placed it. Fa ja'alahu fi yaminihi, he placed it in his right hand. Wa akhadha dhahaban, and then he took a piece of gold. Fa ja'alahu fi shimalihi, and he placed it in his left hand. Shimal, yani the opposite of yameen. Remember we had this word before, shimal, and we had the word similar to it, shamal, with fatha. Shimal with kasra, and shamal with fatha. Shimal, we said it means left, and shamal means what, with fatha? Huh? North, the opposite of? What is south in Arabic? Yani shamal is the opposite of what in Arabic? Huh? No? Shamal is north and south is junub. Shamal and junub. Shimal and yameen. Shimal with kasra, opposite of yameen. Shamal with fatha, opposite of junub. Tayyib. So he took also a piece of gold. وَأَخَذَ ذَهَبًا. ذَهَب, a piece of gold. فَجَعَلَهُ, and then he placed it, يعني وَضَعَهُ فِي شِمَالِهِ, in his left hand. ثُمَّ قَالَ, then, يعني after taking the piece of silk and putting it in his right hand, and taking a piece of gold and putting it in his left hand. ثُمَّ, here, ثُمَّ indicates that this something took place after these other things. Yani after these other things. It indicates time, that something happened, and then when that was complete, he did something else. ثُمَّ قَالَ Then he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, إِنَّ هَذَيْنِ حَرَامٌ عَلَى ذُكُورِ أُمَّتِي إِنَّ هَذَيْنِ These two. Yani, هَذَيْنِ is the مُثَنَّ, the dual of what? هَذَا هَذَا نَعَم is the dual of هَذَا يعني the ism إشارة يعني the, for things which are near masculine هذا دول هذين طيب in the plural هؤلاء good طيب he said إن هذين يعني these two things meaning gold and silk he's talking about not just this piece of gold or this piece of silk but he's talking about gold in general and silk in general إن هذين these two things are حرام forbidden prohibited unlawful illegal على ذكور أمتي they are illegal for who? ذكور يعني the males عليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته the males of my ummah أمتي the males of my ummah رواه أحمد وأبو داود والنسائي رواه أحمد وأبو داود والنسائي reported by الإمام أحمد and الإمام أبو داود and الإمام النسائي what is the famous book that's more well known of Imam Ahmad that we know well he would have narrated this in which book the Muwatta of Imam Malik Muwatta is for Imam I'm sorry, the Muwatta is for Imam Malik. Ahmed. Which book is famous for Imam Ahmed? Musnad, na'am. The Musnad of Imam Ahmed. So Imam Ahmed, rahimahullah, he narrated this book in the Musnad, his Musnad. And Al-Imam Abu Dawood narrated it in which book we think is famous for Al-Imam Abu Dawood? Huh? Sunan of Abu Dawood, na'am. And An-Nasa'i, yani more likely it is narrated, An-Nasa'i has two very, very important famous books of hadith that are yani pretty widespread, and one is the Kubra, and one is the Sugra, and the one that this hadith is narrated in more likely is the Sugra, yani Sunan of Nasa'i. Okay, so this hadith, as I mentioned, is a little bit longer than most of the hadith we have taken up until now, but if we look at it in parts, we'll see that there's some repetition here and the expressions which yani shorten it reasonably so that such that it's similar to what we have taken before. Okay, let's look at the hadith here on the board. Yani an Aliyin ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu. Qal, yani Ali, he said, Inna Rasulullah, notice that Rasulullah is Fatha, Rasul, right? Why is it Fatha? It's Mansub with Fatha because of what?
Inna.
Because of Inna. It's Ism Inna. Inna Rasulullah. With Kasr, right? Mudafan ilayhi. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Akhada. Yani Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Akhada. Akhada here means wada'a. Yani wada'a. Yani he placed it. Wada'a. With God. يعني وضع he placed it أخذ حريرا جعل is وضع أخذ he took hold of حريرا a piece of silk فجعله يعني here this is the meaning that I intended وضع فجعله وضعه he took a piece of silk فجعله في يمينه يمين is right Yaminihi, his right. He placed it in his right hand. Now notice the next sentence is almost similar to the previous sentence. Wa akhadha dhahaban faja'alahu fi shimalihi. Akhadha hariran, in this sentence, akhadha dhahaban faja'alahu fi yaminihi, in this sentence, faja'alahu fi shimalihi. So these two sentences are almost the same. In the first sentence there's harir, and in the second sentence there's dhahab, and in the first sentence there's yaminihi, and in the second sentence shimalihi. So that being said, yani, we can kind of memorize the hadith with that in mind, that in the first part of the hadith, inna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam akhadha hariran. And the next part we're going to say akhadha dhahaban. In the first part, faja'alahu fi yaminihi. And in the second part, faja'alahu fi shimalihi. So just try to keep, remember what? Harir and dhahab. Yamin, shimal. ثم, after doing that, ثم قال إن هذين حرام على ذكور أمتي رواه أحمد وأبو داود ون Nasa'i. Nasa'i with Noon and Fatta. An-Nasa'i. Three Imams of the people of Sunnah, famous Imams from the scholars of Hadith. And each one of them has many books, many, many books. But from those books that are most famous to us is the Musnad of Imam Ahmed and the Sunan of Abu Dawud and the Sunan of An-Nasa'i. Okay, any question about the meaning of this hadith or any of the words in it? Anything that's not clear? Three books, yes. Three books. They mention here that it's narrated in these three books. It's narrated in other books too, a lot of other books. But usually they'll mention those books which are more famous and more well known. Otherwise, it came in a lot of other books besides these books. Came in a lot of other books. Now, any other question about the hadith, the meaning of the hadith, the meaning of the words, grammatical structure? Naam. What is the ruling on?
Silver.
Yeah. It's permissible. Yani in terms of jewelry, you mean?
Yeah, like drinking in it.
That's a different matter. Here, really, actually, what we're talking about here, we're talking about for the most part, we're talking about jewelry. Because, yani, if you look at this hadith, notice that in the end of it, it says, إِنَّ هَذَيْنِ حَرَامٌ عَلَى ذُكُورِ أُمَّتِي. As far as utensils of gold that are prohibited, they are prohibited for men and women together. Well, we're talking about jewelry here. Okay, this hadith is talking about jewelry. But as far as gold utensils, yani cups or plates or things like this that people eat and drink out of, they are prohibited for men and women. Prohibited for the Muslims in general. So we're talking about jewelry here. And if there's some more discussion perhaps for this hadith, but yani what we are focusing on here is in reference to the gold jewelry and silk clothing. And there are some exceptions, of course, but we're talking about the general rule. Naam. Okay, let's read the hadith together. Notice that the word, the name Ali, yani, it's majrur, right, because of an, and it doesn't have alif lam, so it has tanween. So this word is pronounced an aliyin, yani with tanween, kasratain, an aliyin. And if you join it together, you say aliyin ibni, ali ibni, yani you're going to join it with the ba here because of, yani the ba having sukoon. Hamzatul Wasl means join them together. Okay, the Hamzatul Wasl is not written here because these words are written on the same line back to back. And the first one is a name and the second one is the father of that person. Ali ibn Abi Talib. An Aliyin. Ibn Talibin. Radiallahu anhu. Qal. Inna Rasulallahi. Inna Rasulallahi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Notice that a lot of times people, they pronounce this supplication, this dua, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. It's not salam. Salam is a noun. Sallama is a verb. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallama. It's a verb. Sallama. And the meaning of it, yani, might take some time. We don't have a lot of time today. But the general meaning of it is, yani, there are two supplications here. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallama. Yani, may the salat of Allah be upon him. And salam. Yani, the salat of Allah means the praise of Allah in the highest assemblies, the assemblies of the angels. And salam means peace, safety, security, like this. Be upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, inna rasulallahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Akhadha hariran. Faja'alahu fi yameenihi. وأخذ ذهبا فجعله في شماله ثم قال إن هذين حرام على ذكور أمتي. Okay, somebody read it to us loud. Slow and loud and clear. Somebody read it to us. Who will volunteer to read it? Okay, Mustafa. Now.
An Ali Al-Ali ibn Abi Talib radiyallahu anhu qala inna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam akhada hariran faja'alahu fi yaminihi وأخذ ذهبا فجعله في شماله ثم قال إن هذين حرام على ذكور أمتي رواه أحمد وأبو داود والنسائي.
جزاك الله خير. Somebody else read it to us slow and loud and clear. Who else wants to read? Somebody read it slow and loud and clear. Now Abdul Karim.
قال إن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أخذ حريرا فجعله في يمينه وأخذ ذهبا فجعله في شماله ثم قال إن هذين حرام على ذكور أمتي وراه أحمد وأبو داود والنسائي.
جزاك الله خير. Okay, somebody attempt to recite it to us without looking, not reading from the board, from memory. Somebody try to read it to us from memory. طيب تفضل. From memory.
عن علي بن أبي طالب رضي الله عنه قال إن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أخذ حريرا فجعله في يمينه وأخذ ذهبا فجعله في شماله ثم قال إن هذين حرام على ذكور أمتي رواه أحمد وأبو داود والنسائي.
أحسنت ما شاء الله. Somebody else memorize it. نعم ذكرين.
رضي الله عنه قال إن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أخذ حريرا فجعله في يمينه وأخذ ذهبا فجعله في شماله ثم قال إن هذين حرام ذكور أمتي رواه داود
أحمد
أبو داود وأبو داود والنسائي.
أحسنت ما شاء الله. محمد.
عن علي بن أبي طالب رضي الله عنه قال إن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أخذ حريرا فجعله في يمينه وأخذ ذهبا فجعله في شماله ثم قال إن هذين حرام على ذكور أمتي رواه أحمد وأبو داود والنسائي.
أحسنت ما شاء الله. جيد ما شاء الله. Did any of you three memorize this before you came to class? You memorized it before? Alhamdulillah. La bas. Tayyib. That's good. And it's good to come to class prepared. Part of that is trying to do some work before you get here. Now, okay, somebody who didn't memorize it before you came to class, before we leave here today, I want somebody else to recite it to us from memory, who did not memorize it before you came to class, who memorized it since we came here today. Okay, look at the hadith in three parts. After the narrative of the hadith on Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu qal, first part of the hadith, إِنَّ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ, يعني that verily the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم أَخَذَ حَرِيرًا فَجَعَلَهُ فِي يَمِينِهِ. This is the first part, right? After إِنَّ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ أَخَذَ, يعني he did what? أَخَذَ حَرِيرًا فَجَعَلَهُ فِي يَمِينِهِ. Second part, وَأَخَذَ ذَهَبًا ذَهَبًا فَجَعَلَهُ فِي شِمَالِهِ يَمِينِهِ شِمَالِهِ. ثُمَّ قَالَ, then after doing that, after completing that, he said, إِنَّ هَذَيْنِ, verily these two things, يعني silk and gold, are حَرَامٌ عَلَى ذُكُورِ أُمَّتِي, on the males of my ummah. رواه أحمد وأبو داود والنسائي. And let me just add that in one of the narrations, in the narration of Ibn Majah, which is not mentioned here, right? We said Ahmad, Abu Dawood, and Nasai. We said that it's also narrated in other books. And from the other narrations, it came in the Sunan of Nasai of Ibn Majah. In a narration, the Shaykh al-Albani said it's Sahih, yani that it came, إِنَّ هَذَيْنِ حَرَامٌ عَلَى ذُكُورِ أُمَّتِي حِلٌّ لِإِنَاثِهِمْ حِلٌّ لِإِنَاثِهِمْ. That means what? That these two things, the silk and gold, are haram, forbidden, for the males of my ummah. And in one of the narration of Ibn Majah said, and they are lawful, حِلٌّ لِإِنَاثِهِمْ, for the females of my ummah. They are haramun for the males of my ummah, and they are halalun for their females, yani the females of my ummah. So this is also, and Shaykh al-Albani said this narration is sahih, it also came in the Musannaf Ibn Abi Shaybah with this wording and other books like this also. So just keep in mind that there's a clarification in the narration of Ibn Majah, yani of this statement here, that it's haram ala dhukuri ummati, and in some of the narrations it became clear that it means that it's haram for the males, but it's lawful for the females. That could be understood from here, right? But this makes it more clear. Permissible. يعني حلٌ means here حلالٌ لإناثهم. إناث يعني is the plural of أنثى. We're going to look at some of these words as we go through the discussion of the hadith. Okay, any question before we read يعني the explanation of the words here? Now, where? Oh, wafi riwayatin. Wafi riwayatin. Yani in a narration. Also, yani in a narration. Riwaya. Fi riwayatin. In one narration that came in, yani the Sunan of Ibn Majah, the wording came, hillun li inathihim. Hillun li inathihim, meaning that it is halal for their, yani females. Meaning the females of the Muslim Ummah. Any other question? Okay, let's look at the words that came in this hadith. The first word is Al-Harir. Al-Harir. One second. Let me see if I have one. Just one moment. Okay, I have a note here. It says it's written rawahu, not rawaha. I think it's written here rawahu. Maybe it's not clear, huh? Oh, in the book. Okay. Oh, yeah, that's right. It's written in the book wrong. Okay, I didn't understand the note, but I see. Okay, in the book it's written rawaha with fatha, instead of with dhamma. Okay, so this, yani the ones who narrated this hadith, it should be rawahu. In the book it has rawaha. Jazakallah khair. So please correct the spelling there, any of the typing error. Rawaha, rawahu. Yeah, mashallah. That came from the sisters, right? Yeah. Usually the notes come from the sisters. Now, Tayyib. Okay, so the first word here we have here is Al Hariru. Huh? Al Hariru. What is Al Harir? Silk. In Arabic, Harir is defined here as what? Nasijun. Nasijun. Nasij means some type of fabric. Something that's woven, like a woven fabric. Huh? Nasijun, yani some fabric that's woven, min khaytin, is woven from what? Khayt, like a thread, or a fiber or something. It's woven from a thread, right? Which kind of thread? Yafrizu dudu al-qazzi. Yani, yafrizu is from the verb faraza. Faraza, yafrizu, means to excrete, or discharge, or secrete. Yani a certain insect excretes this. Yani this, khayt. Yafrizu, dudu, walaikum salam. Dudu al-qazzi. Dud means the worm, and al-qazzi is the word that means silk. So dud al-qazz means the silkworm, the silkworm. This is, this thread that this fabric is woven from, min khaytin, from a thread that is excreted or secreted by the silkworm. The silkworm. So it's a fabric that's woven from a thread that is excreted or secreted by the silkworm. In any case, this is the Arabic definition, and we should try to learn some of these words for the sake of yani our vocabulary and understanding the language better. Otherwise, the meaning of harir is silk. But if somebody says, yani they don't know English, what is the meaning of harir in Arabic, then you have to give them a little bit more yani detailed explanation, right? So you have to tell them that it's nasijun min khaytin yafrizu dudu yafrizuhu dudu al-qazzi yafrizuhu, yani it is excreted by the silkworm, dud al-qazzi. Okay, so this is the word harir, silk, yani it's a fabric that's woven from the thread or the fiber that is excreted by the silkworm. The next word, al-dhahabu, al-dhahabu. Al-dhahabu, it says, yani the meaning of al-dhahab, ma'adinun ma'arufun. Ma'adin means a metal or a mineral, some type of mineral that's from the earth. Ma'adin. Ma'adin is a mineral that is in the earth, that yani is dug up from the earth, some kind of mineral that's dug up from the earth, and they said it is a ma'adin that's ma'roof. Yani it's a well-known mineral. What is a dhahab? Gold. It's well-known, right? Gold is well-known. Now, sometimes in Arabic dictionaries, when something is well-known, instead of them describing it, they just say, yani amrun ma'roof. I'll hear ma'adin ma'ruf or something like this. Okay, something that's well known, they're not going to take the time to give it a lengthy explanation. So they say it's just well known. It's a well known mineral that comes from the earth, and we know it in English as gold, al-dhahab. And don't be confused here between al-dhahabu or dhahabun, a noun, and the word dhahaba. Yani he went, dhahaba yadhhabu. Huh? Dhahaba, this is dhahabun or al-dhahabu, gold, huh? And after this we have al-dhukuru, al-dhukuru. Al-dhukur, jam'u dhakarin. Yani dhukur is the plural of dhakar. Dhakar means male, male. So dhukur means the males, yani haramun ala dhukuri ummati, on the males of my ummah. وَالذَّكَرُ, this word الذَّكَرُ ضِدُّ الْأُنْثَى. It is the opposite of الْأُنْثَى. الْأُنْثَى means female. So الذَّكَر, male, is the opposite of الْأُنْثَى, female. وَجَمْعُ الْأُنْثَى, and the plural of أُنْثَى is إِنَاثٌ, إِنَاثٌ. يعني as it came in the narration of Ibn Majah, حِلٌ لِإِنَاثِهِمْ. إِنَاث يعني the females of them meaning the Muslims يعني حل حلال لإناثهم. So we have a series of definitions here. يعني الذكور is the plural of ذكر, and الذكر is the opposite of أنثى, and the plural of أنثى is إناث. So you have to know here what ذكر and ذكور and أنثى and إناث, singular and plural, opposites, masculine, male and female. After this we have الحرام. الحرام is ضد الحلال, should be ضد الحلال. Notice that there's a fatha on the lamb in halal, it should be كسرة. And why should it be كسرة? ضد الحلال instead of حلال as it's written here. Why should it be كسرة, مفعول به, مفعول به will make it كسرة or fatha? مفعول به will make it fatha. It's fatha. We say fatha is wrong. مضاف إليه, because it's مضاف إليه. يعني مضاف إليه is always مجرور. So it should be ضد. يعني الحرام is ضد الحلال. ضد الحلال. يعني حرام is the opposite of halal. حرام is forbidden. Halal is permissible, lawful. The next word, الأمة. الأمة يعني الأمة means what? The nation. نعم, something like this. The community, يعني the whole of the people. الأمة يعني the Muslim أمة means all of the Muslims in the whole world, regardless of what country they live in, what nationality they are identified with, what race they belong to, what language they speak. The أمة means the whole Muslim body. نعم, in the world. Everyone, he said that he heard that the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is everyone after his time,
during and after his time.
That's not exactly correct. Perhaps you didn't hear the whole explanation that they gave. Yani, there's no doubt that the ummah of Muhammad is divided into two parts. Ummah to da'wah, which is what probably they were referring to when they said that, and ummah to al-ijaba. Ummah to da'wah means all of the people in his time and after his time. Ummah to da'wah. But that means you have to specify, you're talking about ummah to da'wah. And that means all the people that he was sent to call. That means all the people in his time and after his time. But ummah to ijaba, yani the people who responded to his call, then this is only the Muslims. And this is what is normally intended when you say the ummah of Muhammad, you mean ummah al-ijaba, the people who answered his call, the Muslims. But otherwise, if you clarify and you say ummah ad-da'wah, the people who were sent to call, yes, then it includes all of the people from his time and after his time. Now, after this, yani we have al-ummah, right? And its plural, jam'uha, the plural of ummah, is umamun. Umamun. It should be with a dhamma on the hamza of umam. The hamza after jam'uha should be, the hamza should have dhamma. Umamun. Umamun. Yani the plural umma, umamun. The nations. Yani the nations of the world. And after this, we have ja'ala. Yani from the hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam took some silk. Faja'alahu fi yaminihi. Ja'ala in this hadith, it means wada'a. Wada'a means he put it, he placed it. And the mudari of ja'ala is yaj'alu. Ja'ala yaj'alu. On the next page, we're looking at now, yani some grammatical points contained in this hadith, couple of grammatical points contained in this hadith. The first of them is yani the effect of inna. Inna wa akhawatuha. And remember, the rule for inna wa akhawatuha, yani inna wa anna wa ka'anna, the rule for them is that they are used with a jumla ismiya. A jumla ismiya, nominal sentence. A mubtada and a khabr. And once, yani note, we remember that the mubtada and khabr are always marfu'un, both of them. But once you use inna with the mubtada and khabr, then the mubtada becomes ism inna, and ism inna is changed to mansub. Whereas the khabar inna remains marfu'un. So the rule here that we're talking about with the word inna, with this word inna Rasulullah, the word, what was the mubtada, now known as ism inna, becomes mansub. Whereas the next part of the sentence, the khabar, remains marfu'un. Okay, so this is the rule that we want to look at now. How does, when we use the word, the particle inna, which is used for emphasis, yani it means verily, certainly, surely, like this, huh? Inna Rasulullah, certainly, definitely, surely, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he did this. Akhada, yani hariran, wa akhada dhahaban. And he put it in his right, and he put it in his left, thumma qala, and then he said, such and such and so and so. So inna is used for emphasis, and its meaning could be, depending on the context of the sentence that you're translating, you may say verily, surely, certainly, something like this. Okay? So inna, the rule for inna is that it's used with a jumla ismiya, a mubtada and a khabar, subject and a predicate. The mubtada now becomes known as ism inna, and it's changed from being marfu'un to being mansub. Change its case from being marfu to being, yani from nominative case to accusative case, mansub. So we're going to look at a couple of examples here that clarify this rule. Okay, the first of them is hadani, yani these two things are jadidani, are new. Hadani, these two things are jadidani, they are two new things. Yani in the singular you say hadha jadidun, this is new. But when you say hadani is dual, so it's hadani jadidani, two new things. But when inna is used with this sentence, hadani, which is marfu'un, becomes inna hadaini mansubun, because it's ism inna. Okay? As far as the second part of the sentence, jadidani, the khabar of inna remains marfu'un, so it's not changed. So just the ism inna, what was the mubtada is changed. So from hadani, jadidani, it became inna hadaini. Inna hadaini jadidani, verily these two things are new. The second sentence, hadani mujtahidani, these two are mujtahidani. What is the meaning of mujtahidani? Hard working or diligent. These two are hard working or diligent. Hadani mujtahidani, these two are mujtahidani, yani hard workers, diligent. So hadani, after inna becomes ism inna, became mansub from hadani to hadaini. Inna hadaini mujtahidani. Notice that mujtahidani remained the same. The khabar remains marfu'un, mujtahidani. And by the way, the dual words like jadidani and mujtahidani, yani when they are marfu'un, they take alif. And when they are majrur or mansub, they take what? Yeah. They take ya. Naam. So you say, yani waladani, if it's majrur or mansub, you say waladaini. Baytani, two houses, if it's majrur or mansub, it becomes baytaini. Shajaratani became shajarataini, like this, okay? So just keep in mind that these words are dual words. And dual words, when they're marfu'un, we don't say they take dhamma. Rather, they take alif. And when they're mansub or majrur, then they take ya. That's how we get hadaini, yani, jadidani marfu'un. If it was mansub, it would be jadidaini. But it's marfu'un, right? The ism of inna is mansub and the khabar is marfu'un. Okay, let's continue where we left off dealing with, yani, the rule concerning the particle inna, which is used for emphasis, and we said that it's used with a nominal sentence, yani a jumla ismiya, that's composed of a subject and a predicate, a mubtada and a khabar. And the ism of inna, yani, becomes mansub, and the khabar of inna remains marfu'un. So we had the second sentence, hadani mujtahidani. These two are two diligent ones, and when we used inna, we said inna hadaini mujtahidani. Hadaini is yani mansub and mujtahidani is marfu'un. The third sentence, hadani maridani. Hadani maridani means what? these two are sick or ill. Yani sick, two sick people. And after inna, inna hadaini maridani. Inna hadaini, verily these two are maridani. They are both sick. Hadaini is mansub as ism inna, and maridani is marfu'un as khabaru inna. Is this rule clear? Yani that inna is a particle used for emphasis, and yani it's used with a nominal sentence, a subject and a predicate, mubtada and khabar. And what happens when you use inna is the subject, yani the mubtada, is changed in its i'rab from being marfu'un to being mansub, whereas the khabar remains the same, marfu'un. Okay, after this, another rule, or I see, let's see, not really a rule, but a point here, is that the word al-yameen, in terms of vocabulary words, al-yameen, which means what?
The right.
Jam'uhu aymanun. Jam'uhu, the plural of yameen, is ayman, aymanun. وَجَمْعُ الشِّمَال with كَسْرَ الشِّمَال, the plural of what is the meaning of shimal? The left, and its plural is شَمَائِلُ. شَمَائِلُ. So here we have two more words, يَمِين and its plural أَيْمَان, and شِمَال and its plural شَمَائِل. شَمَائِلُ with a single dhamma, and the reason why it doesn't have tanween, even though it doesn't have alif lam, it doesn't have tanween because what? Because it's from the broken plural pattern mafail, which is mamnu' min as-sarf, doesn't take tanween. Okay, finally, the last point we have here, grammatical point, is related to the word thumma. The word thumma. And make a note here that there's a difference, in case sometimes you might not pay attention. There are two words that look almost the same, right? They're both spelt with tha and meem, and both of them have shadda on the meem, and one of them is this word with dhamma, thumma, huh? Thumma, and the other one is with fatta, thumma. And thumma means hunaka, over there. And thumma means then, after this thing was completed, then something else happened. Thumma. This is the word that we're dealing with dhamma, thumma. But pay attention, you might sometimes see the word thumma with fatta, and you might not pay attention, and you think it's thumma, and it's really thumma means hunaka, over there. Alright, so pay attention to this. So the word thumma, it shows yani the order of something, that something happened and something else happened after it. After it was completed, finished, then something else happened at some point after it. Thumma. So in this hadith, we have thumma here, right? Yani after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam took the silk and placed it in his right hand, and he took the gold and he placed it in his left hand, thumma, after doing those things, thumma qala, then he said, inna hadaini haramun ala dhukuri ummati wa hillun li inathihim, in the narration of, which narration is that in?
Ahmad.
No, the narration that says hillun Ibn Majah. The extra words there came from the Sunan of Ibn Majah, Hillun li'inathihim. Yani that the silk and gold is haramun on the males of my ummah, and in the narration of Ibn Majah, Hillun, yani halalun, lawful for their females. So thumma, we said, yani that it indicates, yani order, that something happened in time after something else. And it is a harf atfin, yani it is a conjunction. Like wow is a conjunction, and fa is a conjunction, thumma is also a conjunction. It joins something before it to something after it. Except that each type of conjunction has different meanings. You know, wa just means this and that. It doesn't have anything to do with time or order. And fa normally gives the meaning of something happened after as a result of something else. And thumma generally means that something happened after something else in time. In time. Not necessarily as a result, but just in time. It came later. Something was completed and this happened after it. So here in this meaning we have what? Then, after he did these things, then he said that these two are haram for the yani, males of my ummah. So it's the harf atfin, meaning a conjunction. And these are some examples of how it's used. Taqulu, you say, for example, number one, Ja'a Aliyun Thumma Ahmadu. Ja'a Aliyun. Yani, meaning?
Ali
came. Thumma Ahmadu.
Then
Ahmed. This clearly means that Ali came first. And sometime after that, Ahmed came. After Ali was already there. Okay? Second sentence. Tawadda'atu thumma dhahabtu ila al-masjidi. Tawadda'atu, yani tawadda' means what? To make ablution. Tawadda'atu, I performed ablution. Thumma dhahabtu ila al-masjidi. Then, after I completed the ablution, I went to the masjid. And this is what's best. That a person make wudu before going to the masjid. Not go to the masjid and make wudu in the masjid. Rather, it's best that you make wudu before going to the masjid. And there's virtue in that. That the person performs wudu in their home, or in their place, and then walks to the masjid in a state of tahara. Because all of this is worship, right? So a person wants to be, as much as possible, in a state of tahara. Not to mention other problems that it may create. If 100 people come to the masjid, and everybody needs to make wudu. And maybe it's time for the iqamah, and then what happens? Tawadda'atu thumma dhahabtu ila al-masjidi. I performed ablution, and then after that I went to the masjid. Number three. Akaltu thumma sharibtu. Akaltu thumma sharibtu. I ate, and then after I finished eating, then I drank. I ate, and then I drank. I hope the word thumma is clear. The shadda is missing. Okay, in the first one, mashallah. Abu Bakr. Ja'a Aliyun Thumma. The word Thumma should have shadda. Thumma should have a shadda. It's just a fatha here without the shadda. Thumma Ahmadu. Okay, I just want to share with you a hadith. Perhaps I'll try to send it to the class if somebody reminds me. Very important hadith that used the word Thumma. And this shows you the great importance of understanding the significance of these words. There's an authentic hadith where the Prophet is reported to have said, it's reported about the Prophet ﷺ, it's in the Musnad of Abu Ya'la. In the Musnad of Abu Ya'la, and Shaykh al-Albani said that it's sahih. And it's reported that, كان صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا أراد أن يسجد كبر ثم يسجد. يعني كان صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا أراد أن يسجد. If he intended, he wanted to prostrate, كبر, he made takbir, he said Allahu Akbar, and after he said Allahu Akbar, ثم يسجد. What is the significance of this? What is the significance of ثم here? Somebody help us quickly. Now, it shows that he said Allahu Akbar before he moved. He completed takbir, ثم يسجد. And then he prostrated. He didn't say, Allahu Akbar. He didn't say it when he got down here. Rather, he said, Allahu Akbar, standing. And then, yani after he finished saying, Allahu Akbar, Ya Rahmukullah. After he finished saying, Allahu Akbar, then he prostrated. And the Prophet ﷺ went on, and it's also reported, yani, about the Prophet ﷺ, وَإِذَا قَامَ مِنَ الْقَعْدَةِ كَبَّرَ ثُمَّ قَامَ. وَإِذَا قَامَ مِنَ الْقَعْدَةِ, yani, if he rose up from the sitting position, from when he was sitting, if he rose up from the sitting position, كَبَّرَ ثُمَّ قَامَ, that he said Allahu Akbar while he was sitting. And then after he said Allahu Akbar, then he stood up. So the significance of this, yani, is really great. If a person really understands the error that we find so often amongst the people, yani, making takbir while they're moving, or making takbir after they get to the next position, when the Prophet ﷺ, in these two positions, when he was standing, he said Allahu Akbar before he moved. And likewise, it's narrated authentically from some of the companions of the Prophet ﷺ, that they never used to move when he was going to prostration, حَتَّ وَضَعَ جَبَهَتُ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ, until he put his forehead on the ground. They didn't move. He didn't move until he said Allahu Akbar, and they didn't move until his face was on the ground. And this, both of these are violated across the earth today. Both of these are violated. We don't want to get stuck here. I just want to mention this as a point, okay? And by the way, Shaykh al-Albani said, well, hadith, yani this particular hadith, that the Prophet, when he intended to prostrate, he would say Allahu Akbar, and when he finished saying it, then he would prostrate. He said, this, wal hadith, yani nasun sarihun, it is a clear text. Fi anna sunnah takbir thumma sujood. That the sunnah is to say Allahu Akbar and then to prostrate. وَأَنَّهُ يُكَبِّرُ وَهُوَ قَاعِدٌ. And he used to say Allahu Akbar while he was sitting, not while he was getting up. He used to say Allahu Akbar وَهُوَ قَاعِدٌ ثُمَّ يَنْحَدُ. And then he would get up after he said Allahu Akbar. فَفِيهِ إِبْطَالٌ لِمَا يَفْعَلُهُ بَعْضُ الْمُقَلِّدِينَ مِنْ مَدِّ التَّكْبِيرِ مِنَ الْقُعُودِ إِلَى الْقِيَامِ. And this is a يعني refutation, إبطال, يعني it shows the falsity of some of the people who blindly follow do, in that they are elongating the takbir from the time they're getting up until they actually reach the standing position. This is wrong. Rather, you say Allahu Akbar while you're sitting, and when you finish the Allahu Akbar, then you rise up from the sitting position. Now, that's yani, this is generally in salat. This is generally in salat. But in any case, you can apply it yani by qiyas. But this is specifically yani what the Prophet did in salat. Yani when he was standing, it's specifically in reference to these two positions: standing position in the salat, going to prostration, and the sitting position in salat, coming to rise up. It's specifically in reference to this. As far as anything beyond that, we have to do some further research. Now, so what's the solution? Then the imam, he shouldn't follow the sunnah then. He should follow the bid'ah, and then the people will be okay. That's what one of those people from Jamaat al-Tabligh told me in the masjid near my house. He said, when you do that, all of the people go ahead of you. So I said, so what should I do? Abandon the sunnah so that you people can be okay? Rather, you should learn the sunnah and follow it. The solution is not to change the sunnah. The solution is to educate the people, and the people have to follow. And the people have to follow the sunnah, and not follow their madhab, or their culture, or whatever they grew up upon. And by the way, we mentioned this to a brother, and mashallah, the next time I saw him in the masjid, he didn't move until the imam was down in prostration. Now,
in reference to, like, isn't that the way of law? The takbir, right?
You know,
saying Allahu Akbar, I mean, and as you're sitting and beginning to rise, okay? But now,
Not as you're beginning to rise, as you're sitting. You say Allahu Akbar, and then after you finish saying it, then you rise.
You're right, right.
Now,
okay, in reference to rakat thani, I mean, thalith, right? You raise it for second rakat, third rakat. Now, the hand movement.
That's something different altogether. I don't want to get sidetracked with that. That's a long discussion. That's a long discussion. This class, we're not going to finish it today if we go into the fiqh of salat. This is just a point that's crystal clear. The hadith is clear. As far as the rest of the issues and masail surrounding it, that's going to require a long discussion. And we don't have time for all that. This hadith is clear about these two points I said. Two points. When the person who's leading the prayer is standing, or the person who's praying by themselves is standing and they're getting ready to prostrate,
right.
And when they're sitting,
right.
And they're getting ready to come up. That's all we're talking about. We're not talking about any other position in the prayer. All that's different discussion, okay? But we want to keep it clear. Otherwise, we'll fiqh, we can forget about our class and do fiqh until Maghrib, right? Because we all like fiqh, mashallah. Okay, let's get back to the questions. Yani, perhaps the questions for this hadith are somewhat lengthy, so if we don't finish them, and I would love to finish them. If we don't finish them, then inshallah in the next class we'll complete them. Do whatever is left for homework, and in the next class we'll finish reading them. Munakasha on page 16, bottom half of the page. Munakasha means our discussion or evaluation of the issues related to this hadith. The first group of questions: ajib an ma ya'ti, amma ya'ti. Answer: what followings? The first question: ماذا جعل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في يمينه. Now, what's the meaning of the question? ماذا جعل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في يمينه? What's the meaning of the question? Now, what did the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم يعني وضع? What did he place in his right hand? Now, somebody answer.
The
Naam. What did he place in his right hand? Tell me. What did he place in his right hand? Hold on a second. Forgot? Alright, listen up, listen, Naam. أَخَذَ حَرِيرًا. He took the silk, فَجَعَلَهُ فِي يَمِينِهِ. طيب, second part of the question, مَاذَ جَعَلَ فِي شِمَالِهِ. What is the meaning of the question first? What is the meaning of the question? Naam, meaning of the question.
What did he place in his left hand?
Naam, somebody, Naam, Musa.
جَعَلَ
ذَهَبًا. أَخَذَ ذَهَبًا فَوَضَعَ فَجَعَلَ أو meaning, the meaning of it, وَضَعَ يعني جَعَلَ جَعَلَهُ فِي شِمَالِهِ يعني he took gold and placed it in his left hand. Second question, فِي أَيِّ يَدٍ جَعَلَ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ الْحَرِيَ. فِي أَيِّ يَدٍ. What is the meaning? فِي أَيِّ يَدٍ. Now, in which hand جعل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم الحرير. In which hand did the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم place the silk? Naam. Which hand? Silk? In the right. Naam. Adam. Give us in Arabic. Answer. جعل الحرير في يمينه. وفي أي جعل الذهب. وفي أي. In which? Meaning in which hand? وَفِي أَيِّ يَدٍ يعني in which one did he place the ذَهَب. نعم. In which one did he place the ذَهَب. نعم.
جَعَلَ
الذَّهَب فِي شِمَالِهِ. جَعَلَهُ فِي شِمَالِهِ. Okay, question number three. ماذا قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بالنسبة إلى الحرير والذهب. ماذا قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. What did the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم say? بالنسبة إلى الحرير والذهب. What is the meaning بالنسبة? Huh? Concerning, in reference to, يعني concerning the silk and the gold. What did the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم say بالنسبة الحرير والذهب? نعم.
قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بالنسبة إلى الحرير والذهب إن هذين حرام على ذكور أمتي.
نعم. يعني the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said قال بالنسبة الحرير والذهب إن هذين حرام. These two things are حرام على ذكور for the males of my أمتي. على ذكور أمتي. On page 17, top of the page, question number 4. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إن هذين حرام على ذكور أمتي. ما هما؟ يعني قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, the Prophet, he said these two things are haram on the males of my ummah. ما هما? What is the meaning of ما هما? What are the two of them? What are they two? What are these two things that he's talking about? إن هذين. What are they? نعم. نعم. هما الحرير والذهب. They are silk and gold. نعم. Then the second part of the question number 4 says أهما حرام على الإناث أيضا. أهما حرام على الإناث أيضا. نعم. What's the meaning of the question first? Are those two things forbidden for the females, the women also? Huh? Answer. Naam. He said la. No, they are not forbidden for the females also. They are hillun linnisa, or as it came in the narration of Ibn Majah, hillun li'inathihim. Hillun li'inathihim. Yani they are forbidden for the males only. Question number 5. Udhkur حديثاً في حرمة لبس الحرير للرجال. أذكر حديثاً في حرمة لبس الحرير للرجال. What is the meaning of the question?
Mention
a hadith في حرمة لبس. نعم. في حرمتي. حرمتي means يعني the sacredness or the prohibition
of lips, wearing al-hariya, silk, lil-rijal, for men. Naam. Mention a hadith concerning the prohibition of wearing silk for the men. Naam. Somebody mention a hadith concerning the prohibition of wearing silk for men. Naam.
ذهبا فجعله في شماله ثم قال إن هذين حرام على ذكور أمتي.
نعم. The hadith under discussion today is a hadith that shows the prohibition of men wearing silk. The hadith of Ali ibn Talib radiallahu anhu. And the sixth question is related to the same subject affair, same subject matter. أكمل الحديث. أكمل الحديث. يعني I'll read the first part of the hadith and somebody complete it for us. Akmal means complete. Alright, so I'm going to read the first part of the hadith and somebody finish what's remaining. An Aliyin radiallahu anhu anna rasulullahi sallallahu. There's a printing mistake here also. It says anna rasulahu Allah. It should be anna rasul, just with a lam without the ha. Anna rasul with fatta without ha. And then the love of the Jalal Allah. Anna rasulallahi صلى الله عليه وسلم أخذ حريرا. Complete the hadith. أخذ حريرا. نعم.
فجعله في يمينه وأخذ ذهبا فجعله في شماله ثم قال إن هذين حرام على ذكور أمتي.
نعم.
أحمد وأبو داود والنسائي.
جيد. أحسنت. يعني the rest of the hadith is our hadith and discussion today. Question number 7. إملى الفراغات. What is al-faraghat?
Blanks.
Empty spaces. Imla al-faraghat. The empty spaces or the blank spaces. Bi-kalimatin munasabatin. Bi-kalimatin munasabatin. Meaning? Suitable, appropriate words. Yani words that make sense there. Okay? So let somebody read and fill in the blanks as you read. Somebody read and fill in the blanks as you read. Somebody on this side. Somebody on this side. It's been quiet. We've been quiet over here on this side. What about this side? We're coming from the middle. Now, Abu Bakr. Read. Everybody pay attention to the blank spaces. Huh? Now. No. You left out a word here. Ala dhukuri, there's a word printed there.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Wahillun or halalun? Halalun. Li inasihim. Okay, so the blank space should be, the first blank space should be, yani, al-hariru wa-zahabu haramun. The first blank space should be haramun. Ala, the next blank space, dhukuri al-muslimina. Yani this is not the wording of the hadith. This is just a sentence related to the meaning of the hadith, right? You have to fill in the blanks. Ala dhukuri al-muslimina wa halalun li-inathihim. Wa halalun li-inathihim. Yani silk and gold are forbidden for the males of the Muslims. And they are lawful for their females. If you wanted to use halalun or hillun as it came in the narration of Ibn Majah, you can say hillun. And what is more clear in terms of understanding the meaning, people might not know the word hillun. So if you're giving the meaning of a hadith, sometimes you can, yani you have the freedom to use a different word that might be more known, so it's easier for people to understand. So in the hadith it came hillun, but maybe people might not know the word hillun, so you can easily exchange it for halalun. فَحَلَالٌ نَعْمُ Just as we exchange ذُكُورُ أُمَّتِي بِذُكُورَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ Because the ummah means the Muslims. Okay, question number 8. مَنَ السَّحَابِي الَّذِي رَوَى هَذَا الْحَدِيثِ أَخَذَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ حَرِيرًا مَنَ السَّحَابِي الَّذِي رَوَى هَذَا الْحَدِيثَ نَعْمُ نعم علي بن أبي طالب رضي الله عنه And the second part of the question, وَمَنْ الْمُحَدِّثُ الَّذِي أَخْرَجَهُ الَّذِي أَخْرَجَهُ مَنْ الْمُحَدِّثُ يعني الَّذِي أَخْرَجَهُ نعم يعني أحمد وأبو داود والنسائي نعم and others besides them but these are the ones that are mentioned here. Okay, let's try to finish what remains a little bit quickly. يعني the rest of the questions are relatively simple. Second part of the questions, ما مفرد الذكور وما ضده. What is the meaning of the question? ما مفرد الذكور. What does it mean? What is the singular of الذكور? نعم. مفرد الذكور ذكر. وما ضده. What is the meaning? And what is its opposite? What is the opposite of ذكور? Okay, the opposite of ذكور. يعني the you can say يعني could be يعني this question could come singular or plural. ما مفرد الذكور is ذكر. وما ضده could mean what is the يعني opposite of ذكر or what is the opposite of ذكور? Anyway, either way, the opposite of ذكر is what? أنثى. And the opposite of ذكور? إناث. ما جمع الإناث؟ الأنثى. ما جمع الأنثى؟ What is the meaning of the question? What is the plural of أنثى? What is the plural of أنثى? الإناث. يعني female. ما question number three. ما ضد الحرام؟ Meaning the question, what is the opposite of haram? Nam, al-halal. يعني the opposite of forbidden is lawful. Question number four, ما جمع اليمين? What is the What is the gem of يمين? What is the plural of يمين? Amen. And what is the plural of شمال? شمائل. يعني right and left. Nam. Singular and plural. Question number five. أدخل كل كلمة مما يأتي في جملة مفيدة. يعني أدخل كل كلمة. Enter or use each of the words which follow in a beneficial sentence or a complete sentence. First sentence. اليمين. Somebody give us a sentence for اليمين. نعم.
كل الطعام باليمين.
كل الطعام باليمين. نعم. شمال شمال نعم
لا تأكل بالشمال
حرام حرام sentence with حرام نعم عبد الحق نعم الذهب حرام لي أو على ذكور المسلمين ثم the word ثم in a sentence ثم نعم
خرج موسى ثم أحمد
خرج موسى ثم أحمد and question number six أدخل إن على هذه الجملة يعني use the word إن on the following sentence notice that إن is always used in what kind of sentence Jumla ismiya, a nominal sentence. Okay, so this is a nominal sentence. A nominal sentence consists of what? Two essential parts. Mubtada and a khabar, subject and a predicate. So we have both a mubtada and a khabar here. Hadani mudarrisani. What is the meaning? The meaning. These two, he's pointing to two people. These two are teachers, are two teachers. Hadani mudarrisani. Now we want to say, indeed, verily, these two our teachers. Naam, Abdul Haq. He said, Inna hadaini mudarrisaini. Is there anything wrong with that? Abdul Rahman. Listen, huh? Inna hadaini mudarrisaini.
It should be Inna
hadaini mudarrisani. Inna hadaini mansub mudarrisani marfu'un. Because remember, ism inna is mansub. Khabaru inna is marfu'un. It remains the same. Inna hadaini مدرساني مدرساني and then the last question on top of page 18 ما مضارع أخذ what is the مضارع of أخذ يأخذ and what is the مضارع of جعل يجعل and here the meaning of جعل is what وضع and the مضارع of وضع is يضعوا يضعوا وضع يضعوا. This is a مثال, right, from the معتل verbs. وضع يضعوا وجد وجد يجدوا. نعم. Okay, this is the end of the questions and the time is really finished. So we won't be able to read. No, I'll just read quickly the hadith for next week in case somebody wants to try to memorize before coming to class. This is question number, hadith number 7. An Abi Hurairata radiyallahu anhu qal, qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ma bayna bayti wa minbari rawdatun min riyadi al-jannati. Ma, here ma is not a question, يعني استفهام. This ma is ma al-mawsoola, meaning al-ladhi. Here ma, the meaning of it is al-ladhi. Al-ladhi, يعني ma bayna bayti wa minbari, meaning al-ladhi, that which is between my house. Bayti wa minbari, and my minbar is a rawbatun, a garden, min riyad al-jannah, from the gardens of Jannah. That which is between my house and my minbar is a garden from the gardens of Jannah. Muttafaqun alayh from Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu. Inshallah, we're going to stop here. And next week, inshallah, try to review the previous hadith. Today, we didn't have a chance to go over the previous hadith. But in every class, inshallah, we want to go over the previous hadith so that we don't forget them, right? We want to memorize them weekly, and then we want to try to review them weekly also. So please review the first 5 hadith before you come to class next week, along with the hadith that we took today, and preview the next hadith number 7. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.